white, green and white. Get ready, it's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.
All together now. All together now. The time is here and the place is now for the men in green to put it down. To the fans in the stand, to the fans at home, it's game time, baby. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. It's game time, baby. Let's get it on.
I bleed green and white, green and white. Get ready, it's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.
All together now.
And bringing back gangrene. One fish that will go to a deep and at the best land body show.
I do believe
it's with this life to get out to sea and chip for the chest if you bleed green.
I bleed green and white, green and white. Get ready, it's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight. All together now.
WSJU Radio, DJ Mad Max on air here with a very special guest in the building, calling in from the phone lines, starting tackle for the New York Jets, Kelvin Beachum Jr. Welcome to the show, and how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I really appreciate you calling in tonight.
We've been trying to get this on the books for a while, so glad we finally made it happen.
Yep, and definitely a perfect time for us both. And I want to shout out to your publicist as well for making this happen as well.
Yeah, she's amazing. She makes my life a little easier, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you were at the Super Bowl a few weeks ago because I saw you on the TV as one of the Walter Payton Men of the Year. How were the Super Bowl events that you attended?
It was amazing. I've never been to the Super Bowl in that fashion, being honored in that fashion, nor just kind of being around some activities for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, nor the NFL honor. So it was an experience that me and my wife won't forget, and one that we'll cherish for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you do a lot of off-the-field charity work as well. Can you let the audience know what the great deeds you've been doing?
So I've really spent time in two verticals, one ending hunger, both domestically and worldwide, working with partners here in stateside that also have presence globally. So Feeding America, currently sitting in the Entertainment Council, where I get to serve the food banks that I've been a part of. So Central Texas Food Bank, which services my hometown, North Texas Food Bank, which services the Dallas and DFW Metroplex, which is where I played college ball, the Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank, where I played in Pittsburgh for the Steelers, the Northeast Florida Food Bank in Jacksonville, where I played for a year. And now the food bank for New York City, where I currently now play for the Jets. And then work with Bread for the World, which is a policy-based organization out of D.C. And then World Vision, who I partnered with over the last couple of years. And I've worked on some things globally as far as providing access to clean water on a global front. And then secondly is STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and finding ways to get young people, especially those who come from underprivileged and underfunded communities, involved in the tech ecosystem. because I feel that that's an economy that's continuing to drive innovation, that's continuing to drive new findings, whether it be technology, whether it be healthcare, whether it be fighting some of the diseases that are happening right now. So I spend a lot of time just equipping young people with the necessary resources to go out and be positive contributors to the global economy.
I want to thank you for that. Let's give a round of applause for Kelvin Beachum and his great deeds for the world. Definitely, you're definitely making an impact, and we all appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to football, now you went to college at Southern Methodist. Now, what made you choose that college?
My mama.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, you know, I had an opportunity to go to Iowa State. It was the first one, another one of the first offers that I received. Had a number of D2 colleges here in Texas, but SMU was the first visit. I went to SMU, had a great time, you know, great staff there, beautiful campus. You know, they kind of hit on some high points that I was looking for in the academic side, and it was far enough away from home, you know, but also close enough where if I needed to get home, I could, but if I didn't want to see my parents for a while, you know, far enough to get away from it. But, you know, after the visit, you know, we were driving home, and my mom said, "You going to SMU?" And that was the end of the story. So went to SMU, you know, first couple of years was a little difficult, but, you know, kind of after I got my groove and figured out what my role was on campus and how I could make an impact, started to do so, and it turned out to be a very good decision for my life.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. And then you went on to be drafted. Now, what was it like being drafted?
You know, it was amazing. You know, at the same time, it was a high of highs, but also a low of lows.
Mm-hmm.
I was drafted, you know, pretty late in the seventh round, 2012 draft. Was expecting to go a little higher, but, you know, God had other plans for me. So drafted 248, a couple picks away from Mr. Irrelevant, and got drafted to Pittsburgh, which is a team of mine growing up, was a huge Steeler and Packer fan. So to be drafted by one of the teams I played Madden with was actually pretty cool. And had a great time there in Pittsburgh.
Now, what was it like playing with Ben Roethlisberger?
It was good. You know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer once he hangs it up. You know, has been a dominant force in the AFC North for a long time. It's a hard division to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's played in an era, you know, that's been dominated by Brady. But at the same time, he's trying to get him a couple Super Bowls. So really he had a great time playing with him and the people there in Pittsburgh.
And what was it like being coached by Mike Tomlin?
It was great, man. He's a player's coach. You know, got a lot of respect for him, a lot of admiration for him. Learned a lot from him. You know, learned how to manage people, how to manage egos, how to manage alpha males, which is what the league is all about. But you know, he did it with his own way, with his own bravado and his own kind of cadence, and you saw, you know, him kind of just do it his way and not go about it, you know, any other person's way. So it was great to kind of just be around him, especially early on in my career, and have somebody that really just, you know, showed you what the National Football League was, you know, how coaches thought, how scouts thought, you know, what the league was all about, you know. He would put it up, you know, on the board in meetings and tell you about the people who were competing for a job on the team. You know, was very black and white. You don't get that too often in the National Football League.
No. Definitely an interesting story with Mike Tomlin because he's a well-respected guy in the NFL.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And then after you went on to play for the Steelers, you then went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What was your experience like there for you?
It was good. It was quick.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. I was there for a year. Didn't have the season that I don't think anybody in that particular organization was expecting. But it was quick, you know. Enjoyed the guys there. Jeremy Parnell, which is the right tackle there. A.J. Cann, the right guard there. Linder, who was the center. You know, Patrick Omame, who just had his son not too long ago, was my little guard there. So, you know, built some quality relationships and some great friends and friendships. MP, Marcus Pollard, which is the player development director there at Jacksonville. I had a really good relationship with him. I almost talked to him every single day that I was there in Jacksonville. But it's the business, you know. And they had, you know, Tom Coughlin came in and changed some things when he came there, and I didn't fit his new plan, so, you know, made some decisions of my own and came on here to New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, and I'm grateful for that you're here now. But getting back to when you were with the Steelers, tearing your ACL, what was the recovery process and what was going through your mind to make a comeback?
You know, the first thing was I couldn't believe that it had happened. You know, I was going through a contract situation before the season, prior to the season, and, you know, just didn't expect or foresee that happening. It's kind of hard to even go back and think about because I've tried to bypass that situation at that time in my life. But it was a difficult point in life, you know. I just had my daughter the year prior. Wife was getting ready to start school at the time. You know, just a lot of things that we were juggling around during that time. But, you know, made it through by the grace of God. Was able to learn some things about myself. Able to pray a lot. Was actually able to spend 9 days with my mother after that had occurred. You know, had never, I don't think since I had left college, had been able to spend 9 straight days with my mom, just me and her. So, it was a learning period in my life for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that you were able to recover and get back to where you wanted to be. And I also wanted to let you know, Kelvin, that we have a guest co-host here sitting with me in the booth. His name is Tony Paventa. He's also a member at the radio station and a huge football fan, and he'd like to ask you a question.
How are you, Kelvin? You'll hear me pop in every now and then in this interview, but it'll mostly be Max you'll be hearing for this entire duration. So I was just wondering, since you played for the Jaguars, and I believe the year was 2016, how was the trip to London?
It was amazing. I love that the NFL is trying to get over to London. I love that the NFL is trying to get, you know, international, but they haven't been able to do so. But that London experience is one, you know, that I wish they would allow us to have a little longer. You know, kind of get to spend some more time there, but we fly in on Thursday and play on Sunday. So your body never really gets used to, well, Friday night actually. Your body never really gets used to the time zone different. But it's a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
One that I've enjoyed. I've been to London twice to play. Once with Pittsburgh, we played the Vikings, and then again with the Jaguars when we played the Colts.
That I didn't even know. What game, who did you play against when you were with the Jaguars when you were in London?
The Colts.
Okay.
Indianapolis Colts.
Now, what was the final score of that game? I don't even remember that game.
I know we won. It was one of the few games we won that year. But I know we won that game. Can't remember the score offhand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. As long as you got the win. After the Jacksonville Jaguars, you were signed to my favorite football team, the New York Jets, which I was very happy for. I remember I took a nap. I was like, because it was during free agency. I was like, watch, the Jets aren't going to get anyone good. And all of a sudden, I get a notification on my phone that the New York Jets signed Kelvin Beachum to a 3-year deal. And I was like, oh, thank God. That's right. I remember the year before that there were rumors that you guys might have been in contract talks.
Yeah, I was in the building for a little while, and what was ironic is when I signed the second time, it was almost a day removed from the day that I was there last year, that we were going to the doctor's office and getting checkups, going to the physical, et cetera. It's been a positive experience since I've been here. I wouldn't trade anything for the world. We'd love to stay here for years to come and see how things go. But we really do enjoy it here.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to have you there for many more years. You're making the offensive line better for us, which has always been like the weak spot for the New York Jets, I feel like. So when I heard that you signed with us, I was finally like someone that can make this offensive line better.
Gotcha. It's been fun. But, you know, hopefully get some more guys in here and have some accountability and build some chemistry and be able to stay together for a couple years on end.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like playing for Coach Todd Bowles?
You know, anytime you get to play for somebody that played the game, you always have a lot of respect for him. Todd played the game, won a Super Bowl playing the game. So, you know, just carrying a different level of credibility and just respect. So had a ton of respect for him. Loved how he carried himself, both in the good times and the bad times. Loved how he handled adversity. You know, wish things would have worked out here, but again, this is a business, a high-performance business at that. But know that he's going to do well there at Tampa. Like I said, really have a lot of respect for him, a lot of admiration for him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely handled it very professionally when he was fired. And now, what were the differences between Todd Bowles and Mike Tomlin's coaching? Like, how are they different?
You know, I think Mike T was a little bit more outgoing as far as just being able to talk with guys and knowing which buttons to push collectively, is also and individually as well, and was very adamant about it. Whereas, you know, Todd was one of those guys, he laid the standard out very early on and, you know, laid his standard out on what he expected from the guys. And if you didn't meet it, you just wasn't one of his guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he left it at that. But, you know, there are differences and similarities, you know, not good or bad. It's just, you know, two different personalities at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And now I know everyone knows that we have a new coach in here, Adam Gase. Now, have you gotten the chance to meet or speak with Adam Gase?
Yeah, I spoke with him. I'm looking forward to meeting him here in a couple weeks when we report in April.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've heard good things about him, from guys who played with him, guys who, you know, was with him when he was in Chicago as well as in Denver. Actually, one of my good friends, Emmanuel Sanders, was there with him when he was in Denver with Peyton, so. Like I said, there's some good things that I've heard from him, so excited to meet him for myself and get to know him for myself.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what he can do with you guys. Now, with Sam Darnold, now he's a big quarterback guy, and I'd love to see what he can do with Sam Darnold. Now, how is it playing with Sam Darnold?
It's good, you know. He's a young kid who has a lot of potential, so looking forward to seeing him jump. Year one to year two. Usually you hear about rookie quarterbacks that have some growing to do in their first year, but when they're able to, you know, see the progression from year one to year two, you see some good things. But I think you're going to see a lot of good things from Sam coming up here shortly.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the energy in the locker room at the end of the year? Was it that – how did it change from the beginning of the year?
I mean, we were losing, so the energy wasn't high by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, this is a business, and you realize when you play this game, you sign up for certain things, and when you perform well, you know, things are nice. When you don't perform well, things are not as pleasant. And towards the end of the year, things weren't as pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're looking forward to the new year. Is there anything that you can expect from free agency that the Jets may do?
No idea.
Yeah, because I know a few people were asking me, especially Jet fans, if you could ask him, maybe he might know what they may do.
No idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an independent contractor. I'm employee 68. They don't tell me, you know, what they got going on or who they're doing it with or what they're thinking. You know, my job is to be as equipped as possible to perform at my highest level when I get back in the building. When you start training camp and get ready for the season, they don't ask me to make personnel decisions or draft decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If they did, I thought it would be playing. So I stay in my lane.
Mm-hmm. And we're all looking forward to the upcoming season and with Adam Gase. But now I want to get your take on music because this is also a music show. Are you a fan of hip-hop or anything? Okay.
Anything gospel, or if you want to go old school, I can go to some older genres, which I enjoy.
Okay. Yeah, we can do. Who are some of your favorite artists?
You got Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
You got John P. Key, Ty Tribbett, and on the kind of urban side, you got, I love Gap Band. I love Temptations. Isley Brothers, Black Street, Old School Tank. So, got some older, like I said, older, old school music that I like to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of the Isley Brothers, by the way. Definitely one of the greatest R&B gospel groups of all time.
I would say they're up there. They're up there. It's hard to rank like R&B and hip-hop. It's hard to rank those guys because, you know, and females as well. But, you know, the eras are different. You know, people wanted different things in different eras. You know, it's hard to say, you know, how good Temptations would be right now. You know, it's hard to say how good, you know, Bruno Mars would be, you know, or Lil Wayne or Future would be, you know, in the 70s, you know. It's hard to do those types of things. But in their era and in their time in history, you know, they made a name for themselves for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, being from Texas, what is the differences that, for you personally, that between Texas and New York? Now, from you being from Texas and playing in New York, what are you like about New York from Texas?
You know, for one, I love, you know, that everything comes through New York at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody you know comes to New York, some show, some concert. Everybody comes to New York at some point during the year. And you don't get that in Texas. You know, it's funny. Me and my wife went to see Aladdin and see Lion King. Seen other plays, you know, we're like, you can't get this in Texas. No matter what you think about Texas, and we love Texas, you know, you're not going to get Aladdin in Dallas or in Houston or in Austin. You're not going to get, you know, you may get a version of Lion King, but you're not going to get Lion King, you know, in the big state of Texas. So it's something special about New York, whether it's the fashion, whether it's technology, whether it's business, whether it's Wall Street, you know, whether it's plays, you know, whether it's the diverse food that you have here in New York.
Mm.
You know, you don't get that, even though they don't have barbecue in New York. but you know, you don't get those types of experiences that you get here in New York that you would get in Texas.
Mm.
Vice versa. You know, I love Texas. You know, I love land. I love cattle. You're not going to find a whole bunch of land and a whole bunch of cattle up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to be able to get on your four-wheelers and go ride around in lower Manhattan, you know.
Yeah.
There's pros and cons to both.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely admit that. Now, getting back to the Super Bowl, what were your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
We weren't in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. You're right. Well, what did you think of the game overall, though?
I enjoyed the game. Mm-hmm. About points to me, it's about wins and losses. It's about the ebbs and flows of a game. It's about strategy. It's about, you know, that one play being the play that can either make the game or break the game. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. I thought it was one of the best Super Bowls that's been played the last couple of years. You know, it may have been slow for some people, but for somebody that loves the game of football and realizes, you know, in the AFC North, those are the types of games that, you know, I played in. You know, we played in a couple of low-scoring games this year, and I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, any play could be the play that you know, can cause you to win. So I enjoyed the game, you know, was at the game as well. So, you know, maybe a little bit biased, but, you know, I thought it was a good football game.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see the Jets in it soon. I want you guys in there soon because I'm tired of seeing the Patriots in there.
I would agree.
Yep. I would love to see you guys finally get to a Super Bowl and actually win and get there so the fans can have enjoyment. Now, for Tom Brady, what's it like playing against him in the Patriots?
You know, the thing is they let you beat yourself, you know. If you do what you're supposed to do and they've been beaten, if you do what you're supposed to do, get pressure on the quarterback, run the ball efficiently, you know, you have a chance to win the game. But at the end of the day, they'll wait for you to make a mistake. When you make that mistake, that's when they capitalize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Tony has a question now.
Yeah. So you know how Sam got hurt midway through the season. You remember this, Max?
Yes, I remember that.
Sam got injured midway through the season, and Josh McCown got brought in as quarterback. Is there do you and the rest of the offensive line have a different mindset? If it's like two different quarterbacks, you're trying to protect in different parts of the season. Interesting.
Now, who are some of the most toughest defensive linemen that you had to go up against, that personally?
Terrell Phillips and Baltimore was one. Tom Bailey, who just retired in the Columbia from Kansas City, is another. Von Miller is one that demands respect. Alex Mack, whatever his name is, Khalil Mack.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Clowney, provides something different for you to think about because of his frame. It's some monsters in this league, man. We play a game where, as a left tackle, I'm blessed to get the great opportunity to play one of 32 of the freaks, the most gifted specimens on the planet, week in and week out. So I'm blessed to have a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm just glad that you're on the Jets, because I feel like I said, like when you signed years ago, I was like, we finally got the right guy in there for the left tackle position.
Well, I hope the Jets feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the fans feel the same way. We just want to see a Super Bowl here, but it's a team sport, and they just got to figure out the ways. And Tony,
yeah, I just want to ask you about also what's his name? Jamal Adams.
Oh, for the defense.
Jamal Adams safety. Is obviously you and the rest of your teammates have definitely seen the many strides that he has taken this season. How is he before the game, after the game, in the locker room, socializing? Like, how is he with you guys?
Oh, what you see is what you get.
Just all out, like he's a great guy.
He's loud.
Yeah. Absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, you could tell he's a motivator for the team.
He's a great dude. He's going to be a great player. Looking forward to playing with him for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you feel like the mindset is around this year from what you've seen? Is it finally the time is to win, and are we going to take the next step? Or are the Jets going to make the playoffs this year?
Oh, that's the goal every year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they have to put the work in right now. We got to be on the same page with the culture. We got to find a way to get things turned around. So I'm excited to be here, excited to be part of Jets Nation, excited to get back to things in April.
Mm-hmm. Now, a potential draft selection for the Jets, Jonah Williams from Alabama. Have you heard anything about him or seen him play?
No, don't know anything about him.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to be like, this could be a good guy to put in with you guys on the line, because that's a potential draft candidate that I was looking at. I'd be like, that would be a great fit for the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for calling in tonight and doing this interview with me and Tony.
Yes, sir,
anytime. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out to your publicist, too, for making this happen.
Yeah, anytime.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to keep in touch, too, so when the draft and free agency does happen, we could have you call in again if you're available and touch base on what we could see for more expectations for the season.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in, Calvin.
Hey, Dad.
Yep. Have a good night.
All right,
bye.
All right, there you have it.
Yep,
that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely gave.
I told you I'd pop in every now and then.
Yeah,
I asked him. I feel like my questions were up to par, talking about his experiences in London when he was playing with the Jaguars. I didn't know he went there when he was playing for the Steelers.
Yeah,
I was just focusing on because the Jaguars practically have a second home in London, so I just figured I would ask him that, and also the Jamal Adams question because. I know Jamal Adams is becoming a budding star on the roster, so that's where that question came from.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with the Jets because I feel like with the most cap room right now, they can actually make a move. Kelvin Beachum, I like him as a player. I've been a fan of him for a while now, and when they signed him, I was like,
oh yeah. I asked him three questions. I asked him about the Sam Darnold and Josh McCown stuff.
You asked him about that. You brought some good points to the interview, but I think. The Jets can definitely make this next step up with the amount of money they have and the place they are in the draft. The third pick, they could definitely make a good draft selection there with Jonah Williams.
Or Quinnen Williams, the defensive back, or Rashawn Gary. I mean, it's...
Josh Allen.
There's a lot of ways that this team can go into this offseason. I'm not surprised when he said that he doesn't know because it's like, you know... That's a little more like front office type stuff.
Right. Yeah,
but
I was just gonna try to get his take on what if he's seen him, what does he like about him, and how he could fit the line.
What I liked, my favorite part about this interview was when you asked him about the Super Bowl, and you asked him how he thought of it, and he's like, "Well,
we're not in it.
We weren't in it.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
That's the main thing.
Really good spirit though. Like that shows that he." Has a goal set in mind, and he's on board with his teammates that, you know, we watched the Super Bowl, but the main point is that we weren't in it, so that's how I feel about it. Like, that's just a real motivating spirit that I feel like this Jet team needs to move forward with a young quarterback. So it was a really nice interview. He's a really, really soft-spoken guy.
He's very humble, does a lot for people.
Absolutely.
Off-the-field charity work. And
went to college because it's his mother's alma mater. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he went there because of his mother.
His mother's I mean, it's perfect. He's from Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Mexia, Texas.
He said he was a Steeler and a Packer fan growing up.
Yeah, he's a Steeler Packer
That's
fan.
That's a little unorthodox, you know. Mm-hmm. You usually be a Cowboy fan if you're from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but
yeah, that was interesting. That definitely was interesting. I wouldn't realize that he would have grown up a Steeler or a Packer fan. Because you're right. With Texas, you're either a Cowboy fan or even going way back, Oiler, Titan fan.
Yeah. But that was a really, also interesting. His toughest opponents were probably who he said Terrell Suggs, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, you know.
Khalil Mack, Jadeveon Clowney.
The usual bunch.
Yeah.
Those guys
mm-hmm.
that we hear about all the time. It's like they are tough opponents, you know. He does his job valiantly. The Jets' offensive line is not like bad. It's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always room for improvement in any facet of the football team. You know, but they have a pretty nice foundation to protect Sam Darnold here, and if they can add another piece on that line,
like Jonah Williams.
Jonah Williams, well, yeah. They could be in pretty good shape, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's what they got to use that $100 million for.
Mm-hmm.
They got to protect Sam, get him weapons.
Absolutely.
Let's get it done.
And get some nice cornerbacks, defensive backs, too.
That's right, and they cut Spencer D-lineman. Long. They cut the center, Spencer Long, which, I mean, I was for because, I mean, he couldn't even get off a snap last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was just god-awful, and they got rid of him, but now they have to fill that position. Who do you think? I know they got this guy Harrison, I believe his name is, that they were sliding in because Long was injured and not playing well.
It's either they sign a guy or they just put the next someone that was second on the depth chart up to start. Because centers, you could find centers from a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know that Nick Mangold isn't walking in anytime soon, but you know, maybe you could find the next Nick Mangold.
Yeah, they could use. He's one of a kind, though. I think, don't you think?
They could use Nick Mangold right now.
Oh, they could
with this young quarterback.
They really could.
Nick Mangold would definitely fit great in this offensive line.
I think so.
But it was a really, really good interview. You should definitely get more professional athletes on here. No one's stopping you from bringing on guys like Kelvin Beachum. Really, really good stuff, man.
I appreciate that.
Really good. You got to, like, and not just the Jets. Like, other, like all over the place. I don't even care if it's, like, tennis or golf. Get professional athletes.
Yeah, same with you. You get wrestlers on.
That's a little tougher.
Yeah, those guys never say never or tougher, but you could do it.
Yeah, but so tell us what's like who's next up on your docket next week.
Next up on my show docket next week will be Loco Warbucks. We all know who he is. If you're a listener of mine, St. John's own, Left Rack City Queens own, Loco. Now,
is he a junior?
Yes, he's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
He will be calling in. I mean, no, he'll be coming in next
week. Yeah. So you better get that picture in front of the door.
Mm-hmm. I had one already. I had two with him, actually. I've done two interviews. One was the first interview we did, just promoting his music. Second one was a redo because the recording didn't work. Well, it's a whole other story. And this one coming up will be for his upcoming album, Winter Sprinter, which he will be releasing very soon, and he'll be having an album release party this Thursday. Go check out New Black Soul on Instagram and hit him up if you want to attend that album release party in Midtown Manhattan, which I will be at. So get ready for Loco Warbucks' Winter Sprinter, and we'll be there. Now, Tony, I want to thank you for the show, and I want you to shout out
World Wrestling Radio. You know it's on Thursdays from 12 to 1 here on WSJU The Voice. Mm-hmm. Twitter is at WSJU Wrestling, at WSJU Wrestling. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the show, I already gave you the gist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you want to shout it out twice, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, World Wrestling Radio, Thursdays, 12 to 1, at WSJU Wrestling. You know, it's the thing. I used to do my show at on Tuesdays at, 7 o'clock from, 7 to 8:30. An hour and 30 minutes. Now, your show was also an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Mine was purely talking music. I didn't have interviews like how you have that could, you know, cover an entire program and some more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but those days were fun, but now I want to dial back and just, you know, do an hour just talking, and that's really it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fun coming on tonight. Really, really special night.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you coming on here. And anything else you want to add, or
that's it? Just get more professional athletes. Keep doing what you're doing with the local artists and stuff, man, because that's really cool. Because the one we had before on the episode before, because I know this will be two separate shows,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Because I'm gonna give the spotlight to each person.
Yeah. So
one.
So the episode before this one was really good.
Marquis Martin, shout out to him for calling in.
Yeah, so.
And shout out to Kelvin Beachum for calling in as well. We really appreciate it. St. John's appreciates it. WSJU Radio appreciates it.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
Nothing. Nothing from me. It's up to you. It's now down to you for your closing remarks.
It's down to me now. Again, just thank you for everyone who called in tonight. We will be touching base soon in the draft. Every week we'll be counting up to the draft expectations, and hopefully we get Kelvin Beachum to call in again on who we pick up at free agency, draft expectations, and then just stay tuned until then. And I'll be closing out with Green and White by D. Hodrick. You can find him on SoundCloud at D. Hodrick. Green and White, a Jet fan song. And next week, Loco, 8 to 9:30 p.m.
Mm. And then it'll be spring break, and then we'll be closer to the end of the semester than we were from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
I can't. It's breezing by.
Breezing by.
It is breezing by. And you're a senior. It's your last semester.
Yeah, I'll be out of here soon. But you still got a lot of time, man. So keep booking those interviews. Get, and organize them well.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get as many people on here as possible in the next 2 years. Because you're only a sophomore, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Next, you got 2 years worth of interviews.
Yeah.
You use that time wisely.
Yes.
So, yep, so close us out.
I'm closing you out. Stay tuned to my Instagram at TheRealMax, TheRealMax, both on Twitter and Instagram, same name. I want to shout out my new website, which was just uploaded and live, and which everyone can see at MaxRCoglin.com, which you can follow that in the bios of my Twitter and Instagram pages, in which I'll have my interviews listed, about pages, music and bio, all that good stuff for you. Interviews, and in which we'll link back to my Podbean, which I'll post this episode and other interviews, all my interviews on, in which you could go check that out later, in which if you didn't get to listen to it live, you'll be able to listen to it later. And next week, stay tuned, 8 p.m., I'll be back here, WSJU Radio, live from St. John's University, Queens, New York.
I bleed green and white, green and white. Get ready, it's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.
All together now.
All together now.
The time is here and the place is now. For the men in green to put it down. To the fans in the stand, to the fans at home. It's game time. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. It's game time, baby. Let's get it on.
I bleed green and white. Green and white. Get ready. It's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.
All together now.
All
together now.
Bringing back gangrene. One fish that will go to a deep and at the Bisland body show.
I do believe
it's with this life to get out to sea
and chip off the chest if you bleed green.
I bleed green and white, green and white. Get ready, it's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.
All together now.
Green and white. Get ready. It's time to take flight.
It's time to take flight.